Hey everyone, I know you've heard me speak about microdosing and how much I love it. And I'm talking about microdosing THC. I love it. And that's why I love our sponsor, microdose.com. Microdose gummies are incredible. They deliver perfect entry-level doses of THC that help you feel just the right amount of good. And when I mean just the right amount of good, I mean in so many situations. Anxiety, sleep, focus, pain, relaxation. There are so many different strains and they're really helpful. And I have recommended microdose.com to so many people. And you know what they say to me? Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Don't be afraid of microdosing. Go to microdose.com and you'll learn all about microdosing THC. These gummies feel amazing. They taste amazing. I have used them to get me into the zone I need to write. I've used them at night after a stressful day or a stressful show to relax. I have also said to family members, please take a gummy right now. And they've said, oh, good idea. So check it out. Check it out because they're fantastic. And I'm not like a big weed person. I mean, I used to be. And I do enjoy weed every now and then. But I love these gummies. And I take them with me everywhere. So check it out. Don't be afraid. They're all natural. They're fantastic. And you deserve it. So what are you going to do? You're going to do something that is fantastic. You're going to get 30% off your first order. 30% off. That's a lot. Plus free shipping today at microdose.com. Use promo code JUDYGOLD, JUDYGOLD. It's available nationwide. They deliver it to your door. That is microdose.com. Promo code JUDYGOLD for 30% off and free shipping. Do it. Go to microdose.com. Promo code JUDYGOLD. You deserve it. You deserve it. And you know what else? You're welcome.
Tropf uns den Regen auf mein Kopf. Hink wie ein Deckel, muss es die kleine Farbe im Topf. Geht mir kein Sach mit, die Tropf.
Hey everyone, welcome to Kill Me Now with Judy Gold. I'm your host, Judy Gold, and it is actually, I'm recording this on Sunday, August 20th. And if you are a New York Times reader or you follow me on the socials, you'll know that I was featured in the New York Times, owned by Jews, how she spends her Sundays, how a comedian, whatever, I forgot the title, but Alex Strauss wrote it. She's incredible. She met with Alisa and I for dinner. We did a getting to know you, and she really, you know. And then we spent a long time chatting, and she's so specific and wonderful. So I want to give a shout out to Alex Strauss of the New York Times, ALIX, because she's cool and from New York City. She's just phenomenal. And it was her idea. It was her idea. She came to see my show, yes, I can say that, at 59 East 59. They do different ones for like all year. It's usually people in New York City, but because it's in the metro section, but I wish it was in the big fucking section that everyone gets. But it's a very popular feature. Alex, thank you. Thank you from the bottom of my heart. Her idea. And we spoke on the phone for hours and hours and hours and hours. And Anne Hermes, or as I call her, Hermes, or as I call her, Scarf, was the photographer. And she spent the day with us, and we had such a ball with her. Such a ball. Alisa is not happy with the first photo with her side face and me looking through the binoculars. I happen to say, you know, Anne took at least like 600-700 photos all day long following us. We had so much fun with her. And an editor, someone there, picks the photos. So we were like, okay, the photo of me looking through the binoculars, not the most flattering. of me with my weird face when I'm looking at something. You know what I mean? Like I do this thing with my mouth, like, I don't know if you make mouth things when you're doing, you like when you're focusing, don't you do something like, you know, or your tongue comes out or something like that. Or if you're writing something, okay. So mine is like this. Okay. And I'm like that, you know, I do this a lot. And not attractive, my concentration face, not attractive. Everyone has different faces. You have the concentration face, you have the crying face, and you have the coming face, you know, the orgasmic face. And they're, you know, they're all different and everyone has their own thing, and to each his own. I don't want to see people's cum faces, but I have to say, I have seen like eating something delicious and I've said to myself, oh, that's probably the face they make when they have an orgasm. Has anyone else done that? I have done that. I'm like, ew, I don't want to look at that face. It's too much pleasure for me, you know, and I don't want to see it. Anyway, so we are so excited. We got a lot of calls and emails, and thank you to everyone who wrote to us and commented on the piece. These are times I wish my parents were alive, you know, but they're not. They're dead. So they don't know that I, Judith Hannah Gold, was featured in the New York Times. How she spends her Sundays. Okay. So if you haven't read it, go online, Google it. Okay. You know how to use Google, don't you? So thank you again, New York Times. Thank you, Alex Strauss. Thank you, Anne Hermes, whose boyfriend's Jewish. Okay. Okay. So that was the big thing of this week, that we are very popular, Elisa and I. And then everyone's like, oh my God, you're engaged? I didn't know you were engaged. We've been engaged for 16 years, okay? Engaged. We've been engaged in a relationship. We've been engaged in fighting. We've been engaged in parenting. We've been engaged in fighting. We've been engaged in athletics together. We've been engaged in fighting. We've been engaged in traveling together. We've been engaged in fighting, but we don't fight in the ocean. That is so true. That was the part of the article. If you read the article, it says, you know, we don't fight in the ocean or the beach. And it's true. We get in the water and we like love each other. Like I'm hugging her and like we swim together. I love the water. I love the water. I just love water. I love the feeling of being in the water. And guess what, people? I went on Tomboy X, not even a sponsor. Okay. I went on Tomboy X and I bought like a boy girl bathing suit and it looks really good on me. It's like shorts and a top. A lot of women are now wearing the shorts and top, non-binary kind of. I mean, it's so much better because you can pee. You can like pull down the bottom and pee. That's why I like it. Plus, I'm a little boyish. You know, I like to wear like boy shit, but I do love Tomboy X. And did you see in the article, they mentioned Liquid IV. So if you're a regular listener and you know Liquid IV is one of our sponsors, yes, it made the article because I really drink Liquid IV every day. Okay. What else did it mention? My Trek bike, which I love. You know why I love Trek? Because it's the first maker of bikes to make a girl bike in my size. I've had to ride a boy bike with the fucking bar across there. What is that bar there for? Just to hold your balls up? I don't understand that bar. So I've always had to lift my leg really high and like, you know, it's not comfortable. And so Bill at Provincetown Bikes, who's the best, if you ever come to Provincetown and need to rent a bike, go to Provincetown Bikes. It's P-Town Bikes. And Bill owns it. He's owned it for like 27 years. He's great. Anyway, they have Trek bikes. And the minute they made a bike in my size, Bill called me and said, Judy, you're not going to believe this. And I bought it. I bought it and I have a wooden box on the end. Okay? And Elisa and I ride through the streets, ringing our bell, like literally, like get out of the fucking way. People walk in the middle of the fucking street. They have no reverence for this place. Okay? This is a biking town. Get the fuck out of the street. Okay, so that's that. Okay, I had a few other things on my rant this week. I am wearing, by the way, my Provincetown Tennis Club visor. I'm wearing a visor, Provincetown Tennis Club, which was established in 1924. Next year's the 100th anniversary. I am a governor at large, and you're not going to believe this. I am the head of the Rules and Regulations Committee. And by the way, not good. Because I don't follow the rules. But I'm not a rule follower. But I am very into what is fair. So I'm very good at being the head of this committee. I'm very good at constructive criticism and listening to other people's opinions. But I have to say, you know, now everyone's calling me with these. I mean, these clubs, can I tell you something? It's amazing. These clubs are very, there's a lot of gossip. There's a lot. It's like high school. You're a member of a club and there's etiquette. That's the part I'm not good at, people. The etiquette. Yes, I curse. Okay, so someone complained. We did the mixed doubles tournament and someone complained that I was cursing. Now, there were other people cursing. What do I curse? I say fuck when I miss a shot or shit. Or I curse at myself. I'm like, Judy, you idiot. And there are buttoned up people who complain. And I get that it's a club, but it's also, Diane Weber, who is the president of the Province Downtown's Club, is probably going to kill me for this, but because she's very proper in how you're supposed to act and everything. And I get it. But there are a handful of us at the club who are like John McEnroe, okay? I mean, I don't know if you have frustration tolerance. I don't have frustration. I get mad at myself. I'm a comedian. I'm a solo performer. Like, I like to challenge myself. And I get pissed off at myself when I screw up. So I'm not nice to myself. Now, did I learn this, any skills in childhood on how to control my temper or frustration? No, I got a D in self-control in fourth grade. Okay. Worst day of my life, walking home with the D on my report card. That was the only D I ever got. Anyway, yes, I'm not doing it to offend anyone. You can send me your comments. I don't do it. It's just like a jerk reaction, a knee jerk, not a jerk. It is a jerk reaction and a knee jerk reaction. And let me tell you something. The other day I played against someone who was given it right back to me. And I hadn't played with her before. Her name's Allie. She's great. She's a great player. And I said, where are you from? After, you know, a few games. And she said, where do you think I'm from? And I said, New Jersey. And she said, yes, because I get it. People from New Jersey can totally tell if someone, like I have Gaydar, I have Judar, but I have New Jersey Jar. New Jersey Dar. New Jerdar. New Jerdar. But whatever. Jersey Dar? Yeah, that's good. I can always tell. If anyone's listening from New Jersey, please back me up on this. And we curse. It's part of our vernacular. Like, fuck is a verb, a noun, an adverb. It's everything. It's everything. So I apologize that I get aggravated myself. But I mean, to go and, like, these people complain, like, ooh, and it's like, that's the way life is. You know, you never got out of high school. You never got out of high school. Everyone, yeah. So as much as I love the Provincetown Tennis Club and I spend a lot of time there and I love playing tennis and I love all the members, I got to learn how to fucking not be a baby. And then my sister, Jane, I told her that someone complained and she's like, why do you have to act like that? I'm like, what are you talking about? When we were growing up and we played tennis, you would get really mad. She's like, I'm not athletic. I'm like, okay, whatever. Let's just say the parents were not good at the frustration tolerance skills. Yeah. And I think I also maybe pass that down to the children. And I do this other thing, and Elisa does it now, where when I'm really aggravated about something, and it's usually something small because I have ADHD, so like I'm focused on doing something and then like a pen drops and you're like, oh my God, a train just ran through my head. Like that's how it feels. I go like this. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And now Elisa is going, mm-hmm. So she's adopted it. And then Ben goes, mm-hmm, just to mock me. Okay, so that's that. Ben, Elisa. Henry just yells at me. Okay, so that's it. I'm really famous. I'm in the New York Times. And I'm a professional tennis player. Okay, so that's that. Even though I'm not, we lost the mixed doubles. I played with Chris Nagel. Very good player. Anyway, Elisa and I are playing in the same gender
doubles tournament this coming weekend. So wish us luck, because we love to play tennis together and fight. And she's much better than me. So the snide comments come out like, well, you could have told me that. And I'm like, okay, please. Doing the best I can with my advisor.
Hey, everyone. You know what I just did? I tore, I poured, and I enjoyed a packet of Liquid IV. Because I love Liquid IV. Liquid IV is a major part of my life. And I just worked out with my trainer. And I had a delicious lemon ginger Liquid IV. That one has a little extra. That has a little green tea in it. And so that's a little caffeinated. So I enjoy that because I needed it today. And you know, it's getting warmer out. And what does that mean? Summer. Oh God, please come. It can't come soon enough. And that means you have to hydrate. And that's what Liquid IV does. It hydrates you with benefits like electrolytes, vitamins, and clinically tested nutrients. And it has 3 times the electrolytes of the leading sports drink, plus 8 vitamins and nutrients in one little stick. And that's why Liquid IV is the number one powered hydration brand in America. Okay? And I love it. I use it every day. Ben's basketball team uses it. It is a science-backed formula that works. It keeps you hydrated. And they have sugar-free. They have sugar-free packets in white peach, green grape, raspberry melon, and lemon lime. Okay? I didn't do the sugar-free. Okay. But Elisa does the sugar-free. So what are you going to do? You're going to stay hydrated because it's very, very important. And Liquid IV has been a longtime sponsor and I love them. And they are a quality product. And this is what you're going to do. You're going to turn your turn your ordinary water into extraordinary hydration with Liquid IV. Get 20% off your first order of Liquid IV when you go to liquidiv.com and use code JUDYGOLD at checkout. That's JUDYGOLD. That's 20% off your first order when you shop Better Hydration today using promo code JUDYGOLD, JUDYGOLD, can't even say my name, at liquidiv.com. Got it? You're welcome. Anyway, I just want to say a few things about some things that happened this week. First of all, let's talk about, I wish there was live people and I could say, do you want to talk about Leonard Bernstein, like what's his name? Bradley Cooper and Leonard Bernstein's nose, the blind side situation, or that fuck face. That orange fuckface and his fucking chief of fucking orange staff and his coward. He can't. All right, let's just start with him because he aggravates the fuck out of me. He's not going to do the debate because he's a fucking coward. He's a fucking coward. So he's going to talk to Tucker fucking asshole Carlson. By the way, this is stuff that I can't say on the tennis court or at the tennis club. So I'm just going to be fucking it up right now. Fuck Tucker Carlson. Fuck orange fuckface. Fuck them. They should fucking rot in hell. The things they have done to this country. The fact that 74 million people can't read what the truth is or believe what the truth is and are going to vote for this orange fuckface dictator, liar, traitor, like insurrectionist, racketeering piece of shit. And Giuliani, what the fuck happened to you? What the fuck happened? Like, seriously. Oh my God. These people are out of their minds. But the fact that orange fuckface won't debate his racist posts about the judges, you know, the fucking Republican Party, you are all a bunch of cowards afraid of this orange piece of shit. You know, as much as I do not agree with Liz Cheney on pretty much anything, she's right about Trump, and good for her and good for Adam Kinzinger. Kinzinger. That's a good one. Kinzinger. Sounds Jewish, but he's not Jewish.
So that really, that motherfucker, you have to vote, and young people have to vote. And I know you think Biden's too old, but if it's between the two of them, save the fucking country, people, because fuckface is old too, okay? And Biden is surrounded by smart people, and he's a decent person and a decent president. So fucking cut the shit with the too old. If that's what we have, that's what we have. And it's too bad. It's too bad. It really is. Okay. And by the way, I'm not commenting on this new, I am now commenting on the new finding that Barack Obama had fantasies about being with men. Like, this is like this anti-LGBTQ plus shit that keeps going on and on. You keep coming after us. You keep coming after the Jews. You keep coming, you're racist. You're keep coming after all the people who contribute the most to this country on so many levels. Keep coming after us because we're not going anywhere. Oh, I hear someone at the door. Is someone at the door?
Yes.
Oh, Elisa Dawn Halpern is here, star of the New York Times. I already told everyone you didn't like the photos.
Well, I don't, but here's your snack.
Oh, let's show everyone the snack. Can you get a little balsamic glaze to put on top of that?
On top of the peppers and the mozzarella?
Yeah, so I grilled some peppers and mozzarella. Look at this. Hi, everyone. This is another clip. Here's my beautiful girlfriend, Elisa.
Hi.
Who right before I started saying that I was doing the podcast, I said, oh, should we get a snack? She said, I'm not doing snack for you. I have things to do. And look at her looking all beautiful and precious and loving with my peppers, my grilled zucchini and peppers that I grilled on the grill.
With mozzarella, but I'm missing balsamic.
It's the glaze, the glaze. Oh, it's glaze. It's in a little thing.
I know what it is.
And see how beautiful she looks and how gorgeous she is and how sweet she looks like she's giving. She just yelled at me. And she acts, this is why everyone thinks I'm horrible and she's the best, okay? Is because she has a whole other personality with me alone. And then in front of everyone, it's like, oh, hi, I'm so pretty. I'm going to come in and bring you some lunch while you're doing your podcast and everyone can see how beautiful I am. And all right. I love her. I just fucking love her. I don't know why. I do. There's reasons. Anyway, so fuck. And, you know, Elisa also thinks, you know, is always saying Biden's too old. But listen, if that's the choice, that's the fucking choice. Okay? People. Okay, so that's that. Let's talk about, I'll go to nose afterwards because I'm a Jew. The Blind Side people. The people who, that Sandra Bullock movie, The Blind Side, about this 18-year-old who had been in and out of foster homes and the family. I've read what I've read, so you can correct me. The family, he was under the impression that the family was adopting him, but they really were getting a conservatorship to handle his, make just major decisions for him financially. And this is when he was going to be breaking out to be this huge football star, which he did. And then they made a movie and he didn't get what he deserved. It's his story. And that they were not, I don't know, there's... Both sides are saying different things about this. You know, my whole point here is nothing's the way you think it is. You know what I mean? There's feel-good stories and, you know, you're like, oh my God. It seems to always happen that it's like, oh my God, I can't believe that happened. And blah, blah, blah. I mean, unless it's the guy who saved like the 600 something Jews, that clip that goes around where I love it, where he is on this TV show in the 70s or 80s, and he's surrounded by all the Jews that he saved. Like that to me is, yes, he did this. But these other feel good stories, they often have another side to them. And it's, you know, I mean, yes, what? But it's all about intent. It's all about intent. So now, I tend to think, because of the way it's spun in the media, but I am trying to read both sides, that they took advantage of him. Okay, so that's what I think about The Blind Side. I think there's three sides to every story. But I'm gonna go with the football player. You know, not an easy life. Not an easy life. And you know, you look at the other. Come on.
It's that time of the year. Your vacation is coming up. You can already hear the beach waves, feel the warm breeze, relax, and think about work. You really, really want it all to work out while you're away. Monday.com gives you and the team that peace of mind. When all work is on one platform and everyone's in sync, things just flow wherever you are. Tap the banner to go to Monday.com.
One other thing I have to discuss. If you haven't read about this, then you're living in a, what's it called? Cave, hole. The Leonard Bernstein biopic, which I love Leonard Bernstein. I love just it. Okay. So as you know, or you don't know, Bradley Cooper co-wrote this biopic, stars in the biopic, and he directed the biopic. Okay. And he has a prosthetic nose, which I was okay with. I'm fine. I was like, okay, he looks, you know, people wear prosthetics to look like certain people. Like Helen Mirren is playing Golda Meir, but she's also not directing it and didn't write it and isn't, you know, the whole thing is, you know, her. So anyway, so he is directing this, as I said. So any decisions about prosthetics and the way things look, those are made by him. So if you look at Leonard Bernstein's photo, the nose is a little much. It's a little much. Although, to be fair, his family, his kids are okay with it. They were consulted throughout and they're fine with it. Okay. So it didn't really bother me. And then I started reading articles and then it started bothering me, which is what happens. I have the opinion. I'm like, who cares? What the fuck? It's a movie about Leonard Bernstein. But then I realized there are so many Jewish actors. Oh, I forgot to ring the bell for all this. There's so many Jewish actors who could have, you know, played this part. Like, let's see, Andrew Garfield, Jake Gyllenhaal, he would have needed a prosthetic nose. But who else? There's other ones. Paul Rudd. I mean, there's other people who could have played the part. But this is Bradley Cooper's thing, and this is what he did. So, you know, he decided that his nose needs to be bigger than Leonard Bernstein. I do think Leonard Bernstein's nose was beautiful. And, you know, I'm all for looking like the character. Okay? But I see both stories, also both sides, also because there's so much anti-Semitism now, and the big nose is an old trope. Although I do have a large nose, Elisa does not. Yes, she had rhinoplasty, but I feel like I have to ring the bell 100 times for this, but she didn't have a big nose before she had the rhinoplasty. My mother had a beautiful nose. It wasn't big. My father had a schnoz. My sister has a really nice nose, so whatever. Other groups of people have big noses. Like Greek people have big noses. Italian people tend to have big noses. Not all Greek people and not all Italian people. Everyone's so fucking calm the fuck down. I'm just saying. It's a thing with certain cultures. They have big noses. It's not a thing. Whatever. I'm talking out of, you know, I'm going to get in trouble for this. I'm not going to get in trouble because I have no bad intent here. So anyway, there's this book called Jews Don't Count, which Elisa and I just read. And it's about how, you know, it's about this topic, essentially. And it made me really think. What's her name? Rachel Brosnahan is not Jewish. Mrs. Maisel, like the Jewiest show in the entire world. Tony Shalhoub, not Jewish, but I don't care because he's the greatest actor and he's Lebanese. And so he's got, you know, some Semitic stuff in it. I love him. But I mean, the main character is not a Jew. We're different. We are different. We have different affects. Yeah. I mean,
Anyway, there are, it's a thing. It's a thing. And we're talking about it and the world's coming to an end. So in the beginning, as I said, I didn't give a shit. And then all of a sudden I was like, you know what? Really? Does it have to be that fucking big? But I also am of the school of thought of like, we don't have to pick at every little thing. But now with all the anti-Semitism, we kind of do have to monitor all this shit. I don't think he's anti-Semitic. He's not going to do, I don't think Bradley Cooper is an anti-Semite. I think the family did the, you know, okayed the nose thing. I think it's, you know, we're just using this, or people are using this as a way to talk about this topic, which does it really, you know, do we really need to, there's so many other, there's just so much other stuff going on. There's so much crap going on, and we're talking about Bradley Cooper's fucking prosthetic nose being too big. Okay, so that's my take on that. I also want to say I am thinking about all the people on the West Coast, especially, you know, I used to live in LA, all my friends in LA with the flooding. I know it can't be easy. I'm going to call them all now because it's now, it's before, it's not Tuesday. I'm recording this not on Tuesday, as I said. So I want to see what's going on there. What else do I have to tell you? Oh, so I have to tell you about my upcoming dates and everything, because I have a very full life, as you know, if you read the Sunday New York Times. So I'm in P-Town up until September 3rd, two more weeks. I don't want to leave. So I'm here for two more weeks. Sundays at 8:30, Tuesdays at 8:30, and Thursdays at 7. And then I'm going to the Arlington Draft House on September 22nd and 23rd in Arlington, Virginia. Then I am going to the Sunshine Cathedral in Fort Lauderdale on October 21st. I have some other private things. And then I'm getting my knee replaced. I'm getting my knee replaced. Yes, it's getting replaced. I'm getting replaced. I'm getting replaced a knee. Yeah, I'm getting my knee replaced the Monday before Thanksgiving because I have time off and I can't take it anymore. I really can't. And wait till you see how fucking, how much better I get at tennis after my total knee replacement. Okay, that's it. That's all I have to say to you. I love you all. I love you all for listening. What else? What happened? I'm just letting you know, I did have a part of the podcast where Elisa was on and the mic went out. So that is, you cannot hear that. And it was really funny. Okay. Oh, I wanted to tell you a story. A Leonard Bernstein story before I go. So this is the most New York Leonard Bernstein story. So I think it was New Year's Day. It was either New Year's Day or Christmas Day. It was one of the days the Jews go to the movies. I think it might have been Christmas Day. Anyway, so my ex, Sharon, and I think my friend Bob, and his, who, rest in peace, and his boyfriend Tom, we went to the movies. We went to see something at Lincoln Center Theater, which now is not there. There was a theater right at Lincoln Center that's not there anymore because everything sucks now. And, you know, it's a bank. It's not a bank, but everything is essentially a bank. Anyway, and so we were sitting there and we were, you know, at popcorn and we're getting ready for the movie. And, you know, they play music during the, while you're sitting there, they did play music. It wasn't like, you know, previews. It was, they played music. Okay. And so these two men walk in and they sit behind us. And one of them is coughing a lot and coughing and coughing and coughing. And I turn around and it's Leonard Bernstein. Okay. And I'm freaking out. But I don't say anything because, you know, I'm in New York and this happens, you know. And then all of a sudden, the music, that one song ends and another begins, and it's the theme from West Side Story. It's the overture. And everyone in the theater started laughing. There weren't a lot of people in the theater, but everyone started laughing. And it was just such a New York moment that Leonard Bernstein's there and West Side Story comes on the... I mean, is that unbelievable? Is that unbelievable? So That's my New York story about Leonard Bernstein, who I loved. What else do I have to say? Nothing. I have to say nothing except that Kill Me Now. I love you for listening, all my Kill Me Now listeners. And when you come up to me after my show and tell me you listen, it makes me so happy. It makes me so fucking happy. It is produced by Laura Vogel, edited by Colin Schmeling, and marketed, clipped, whatever, by the one and only Brittany Jo Sowers. Richmond. I can't thank you enough for your love and support. And I hope you have a wonderful week. And as we always say, so long.
Grand Canyon University's RN to BSN online degree program makes earning your bachelor's in nursing possible. Balance online coursework with local in-person clinicals to position yourself for potential leadership opportunities in the time you have from wherever you are, leaving room for what matters. Achieve your goals with your personalized plan and team behind you. Find your purpose at Grand Canyon University. Visit gcu.edu.